Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the final International Marmalade of 2020, number 9, I believe. We've been doing this for 9 months now. I'm John Vassiani, main host of Australian Jams, and this bonus episode, International Marmalade, that comes once a month. And this is...
I'm Mix Everett, your humble co-host of International Marmalade.
Thank you for joining me again today, Mix.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Do you want to know something I noticed when I was preparing my file for this earlier?
Mm-hmm.
Is that 5 of our 9 recording sessions for International Marmalade this year have come on the 6th of a month.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a fun fact for everyone.
Sure.
We record on the 6th of a month more than half the time. I don't know why that's happened, but it has.
I mean...
And I like numbers, so I'm cool with that.
Well, I was just going to say, we have just been having a big conversation about how much of a stats nerd Gemma is. So the fact that you notice those sorts of similarities or those sorts of patterns is, of course you would.
I think it's also just the way I label my folders on my hard drive, but we'll run with it. It's definitely because I am ingenious and not because I just... label things that way, of course. How you doing, Mix?
I'm good. I am so fucking excited that it's December. It is December. It is nearly the end of the year. Gosh. What? I mean, no shit, Sherlock, kind of, but like, what a fucking year. I'm so relieved. It's near the end. And that things are slowly starting to get back together.
Well, we'll find out soon enough if that's all gone out the window or not.
Yeah, but, look, true.
It seems quite positive right now. We'll find out. I don't know.
But yeah, no, we're... So just for the listener, even though this is a end of year episode... We're just talking about our favourite songs of the past month. It's no best of or anything. I don't know, Gemma, if you've got any plans for anything like that in the future, but...
I usually do that on Australian Jams. I haven't organised it yet this year for Australian Jams, but that kind of comes with what's happened with my podcasting this year is, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But this... We're mostly doing recent releases.
Yes.
I've chosen... The last song we're going to talk about is going to be a little bit different to that, but for good reason, which I've just been talking to Mix about prior to recording. So we'll get there eventually, but we have chosen recent releases, mostly. How's all your teaching going?
All done.
I feel like we need to give people
updates.
Yes,
it's all about teaching each episode. No, teaching's all done. I'm finished. I've got potentially
just a bit of marking to
one more piece to mark, but it's great. A bit of freedom. I mean, I've got another job to do over the next couple of months, but Yeah, a bit of freedom is so good.
I finished teaching on last week. The date of the week doesn't matter really to anyone listening to this. I've just got a little bit of marketing to go and then I'm done for the year too. But I found out 2 weeks ago that some of my students listen to this. So,
oh.
Hey.
hey, Gemma's students.
They're great. And I'm not just saying that because I know they listen to it. But this group have been amazing to work with because they're a really interesting group and really engaged. Like, the conversations that we've been able to have, and especially for first year uni students, has been so great.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get to teach them a bit more next year, but I don't know whether that that will pan out that way.
Yeah.
So we'll find out.
Yeah, I had similar sort of experience this year with my lot, and to the point where they've said to me, Michael, can you please try and teach some second year units so that we can have you again? Which is just like, I've never had such kind, I mean, I'm taking it as a bit of a compliment, but
absolutely, but
such kind feedback. So to Ash in particular, she won't listen. None of my students listen, but they're all brilliant.
Well, I mean, yeah, I teach a music industry subject, so
yeah,
it's a bit more relevant for mine.
Yeah, a bit more relevant than youth work. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, not that youth workers can't be interested in music.
No, that's true.
No,
that is true.
I'm sure everyone's loving this conversation. I'm leaving it in. Mix, you have chosen three songs. Which one would you like to start with today?
I have. Let's kick things off with Arlo Parks.
Sounds good.
Her new single, Caroline. It seems to be a bit of a theme on International Marmalade, for me at least, that I always end up talking about artists that I've seen the name of, but have never actually spent time listening to. Arlo Parks.
That's exactly what I thought when you sent this through. Was like, oh, I keep meaning to listen to Arlo Parks, and I never do. And that's literally one of my notes. So there you go.
Well, that's interesting you say, because I've got something to let you know about soon that you've never heard of before. Because I find that a surprise. So singer-songrighter.
The Glass Animals song.
Yeah.
I am aware of you singing Tangerine with Glass Animals, yes.
That was
But
the
I've
reference.
Never searched out Arlo Parks as a solo artist.
Yeah,
Yeah,
she's a singer-songwriter from London, has been around for 2 years or so. This is a single taken off her debut album, Collapsed in Sunbeams, due out at the end of January 2021. Believe it or not, next month, next year. My gosh.
Next month, yeah.
And yeah, she's already been kind of featured on the pod, sort of, when we spoke about Tangerine, although the version that I was listening to was not the single version, so I didn't hear her, because she only features on the single version, from what I could gather. Which is weird, but anyway.
Yeah, I think so.
I love this song because it isn't, or in part because it is not a direct love, like direct kind of love song about direct personal experience. I love it because it is an observation.
Yeah.
The sonically, obviously, there's that big kind of Portishead trip hop kind of production style. And I don't know. So Arlo Parks is a poet as well as being a musician. And it feels maybe a bit lazy to draw this comparison, but I will nonetheless, because I think it offers interesting kind of ways of understanding her practice. But it's perhaps a little obvious to draw comparisons with someone like Kate Tempest. But, you know, there are obviously similarities in terms of both being poets and both using music as a form, albeit slightly different genres, to display their prose, if you like. What I was saying before, Caroline really comes into that out of context observation songwriting style. It feels as though we don't treat that work as seriously as we do a basic kind of love song or a song about heartbreak that is of a personal nature. I wrote like almost like a mini essay about this song.
Of course you did.
And about...
I wrote 3 dot points, but okay.
And about this idea of the author. Because essentially it is an observation of somebody else, not her own personal experience. There's this old guy, Roland Barthes, who talks about the death of the author, or the death of the artist as it's been applied in other contexts. You probably know or are somewhat familiar with this concept.
Can everyone tell who has their PhD and who absolutely does not?
I hated this idea, though. I didn't hate it, but I really kind of critiqued it in my PhD. That's why it feels very kind of fresh. Anyway, he talks about this idea that the work kind of becomes its own sort of living being, if you like, once it's released from the author, and that the author is merely a collage artist. It's still somewhat important, but not an important kind of player in the whole construction and development and releasing of this cultural product, for want of a better term. I kind of really sort of hate that idea that the author is sort of not important. And even in a song like this, where it's not directly personal, so you're not directly interested in Arlo's own personal experience here, there is still, I mean, she's obviously still coming through in this piece. It is her understanding of the world and that is perceiving this, this situation that she's observing. And also, to remove the author from music now is kind of dumb, because music is so visual. Like, I mean, you're the first person to sort of argue that, you know, artwork is so important for music, and video clips are so important for music. And, you know, if I think about things of like standum or just fandom in general, like music is so much more than just listening to the song, and we can imbue our own kind of meaning onto it, but also it's, yeah, the author is so important and Arlo is so important in what she provides the listener in this song. Anyway, that's my little academic diatribe over. Chema.
I think it's very interesting that you said that thing about how the visual aspect is this, it's that, it's so visual, because I've literally written something very similar to that as a note for one of my songs. So yeah. We will get there, but that could be a bit of a theme today. So you keep saying it's about Arlo Parks, describing an observation. The observation is an Australian couple fighting on Oxford Street, right?
Oh, are they Australian?
Pretty sure at the start she says an Aussie couple.
Oh, I was trying to find the lyrics and I couldn't. And
that's what I heard anyway. Huh. I am quite deaf, so that could be wrong. But it was just like, it took me right back to being there on Oxford Street. And my brothers and I actually witnessed a couple. They weren't Australian, but a couple fighting on Oxford Street as well. I was just like, I feel like I'm standing there right now. And just reliving this whole thing. It was really fascinating the way she's kind of created this whole story. And yeah, the poet thing absolutely makes sense. Out of one simple observation, it's become this whole kind of in-depth story shared through this song. Mm. And the way Arlo Parks kind of is able to construct a story and convey that story is so fascinating to me. And you used the Kate Tempest reference. I would say again, stylistically quite different, but the storytelling absolutely there from a bit of a poetry background is Odette.
Oh, yeah.
Who, again, Australian, so I bet she's also half British, so feels like I'm getting away with mentioning her. Anyway, whatever. yeah, I found it so fascinating, and I think because it feels very... what am I thinking of? You know, beat poets who would get up at an open mic night and say their piece and stuff like that. Her presentation, the artwork for this song, the press shots feel very much like that. And for some reason, that feels very powerful to me. And then listening to the song, it's just like she's such an expert at doing these things. And I love it.
Yeah. 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 It's such a fantastic song. And it feels such an easy song. But each time I come back to it, it's like, oh, you know what? This is actually such a strong song. Like, lyrically, it's, you know, there's so much colour in it, as well as that straightforward kind of observation. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's so good.
Should we hear some of it?
Yeah. This is a little bit of Caroline from Arlo Parks.
For the bus one day, watched a fight between a Aussie couple escalate. Strawberry cheeks flushed with defeated rage. Then he spilled his coffee as he frantically explained.
That was a little bit of Caroline from Arlo Parks. Gemma, stop laughing at me.
I feel like everyone should know that I just assume Mix understands what I have going on in my head. So I don't tell him before we come back in from a break what I'm expecting him to do. And then when we come back in, I just kind of point at him. And that's the magic that gets created from that, just so everyone knows. Because I'm terrible at communicating, apparently. That's accurate because, yeah, I never respond to Mix's messages. I feel terrible. But whatever.
Left unread. Seened indeed.
No. But you know what's worse is that sometimes, I mean, this happens to everyone, not just Mix, but, you know, left unread is an overstatement. I don't even open the messages sometimes.
You know.
Mix looks absolutely ashamed of himself.
The Macquarie Dictionary. I listen to this podcast that they run called Word for Word. It's really interesting if you're interested in words and etymologies and stuff. The word seened, as in S-E-E-N-E-D, the feeling of being left on read, was on the shortlist to be added to the dictionary this year.
Really? Yeah.
So it's a very relevant concept, and dare I say, when I deeply resonate with, especially... from you. No.
This is a conversation I've been having with some friends recently, actually. And it kind of goes back to what you and I were talking about before we started recording. Yeah. Is once I, especially when it comes to a stat or something in footy that I want to find the answer to, everything else goes away. I don't want to do anything else but keep looking for that specific thing. And that could mean a whole day of me doing stats by hand to get to the answer that I want. But once I've got to that answer, I can absolutely be motivated to do other stuff. But I become so single-minded in my focus that I just don't respond to people, you know, all this sort of stuff. And I never used to be like that. As a band manager, I absolutely wasn't like that. But now it's just like, that's what it is now. Currently, my big focus is, you know, the rise of Jasmine Garner, in case anyone was wondering. Anyway, I have a song to talk about.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to do the song that I kind of referenced when we're talking about Arlo Parks. Because, you know, better now than later. So I've chosen Bleach's new song called Chinatown. And it features Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is such an odd but amazing combination of artists, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. So Jack Antonoff, who is Bleachers, has said in previous interviews saying that it's a song that starts out in New York City and it travels to New Jersey, where they're both from,
yeah.
Jack Antonoff and Bruce Springsteen, which I find really interesting to start off with. So having listened to the song, then read that quote and listened again, it absolutely makes sense.
Mm.
But there's a transition in the middle of this where it transitions from Antonoff's vocals to Bruce Springsteen's vocals in kind of one lyric, and it moves from one to the other.
Mm.
And to me, that is such a visual thing, because it's like you can see them having crossed the border from New York City into New Jersey at that moment when that transition happens, you know? Like, you can see them driving over a bridge. It's a bridge to New Jersey, right?
Anyway, sure.
My lack of geography is showing. I've been there, so I should know. Anyway, yeah, you can visualize them driving over that bridge or taking that step into New Jersey at the moment that transition happens.
Yeah. And
that's such a visual thing for me, even though I haven't watched the video clip of it yet either.
Mm.
Yeah, I love this song. I love Bleachers. I think Bleachers is so amazing, and we probably haven't really talked about them very much because they haven't released a lot recently. Mm. I listened to Bleachers a lot on a trip to Canada in 2017, if that helps anyone. But yeah, that to me was really cool. And the way that they could make that come across in a song without the need for a visual, it can create that visual kind of feeling, which is what the Arlo Parks one does as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
It's just genius.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, speaking of genius, Jack Antonoff is a genius.
Absolutely.
And I don't know whether I'm slightly too young to have gotten into Bruce, and my parents are older than parents of people my age usually. That doesn't make any sense. It makes sense in my head, but older parents, and I feel as though they didn't ever really get into the Boss. I really like this song, though. The Glockenspiel is such an obvious kind of ode to Springsteen, right? But yeah, it's such a...
I can tell that Mix is listening to this just based on his facial expressions and the way he's ending a sentence before the sentence is over, because he's heard something else he wants to mention.
Found out again. No, it's such a memorable song. I'm literally just reading my notes, and yeah, it might be playing in the background, but still, I'm just reading my notes. I've listened to this a few times since you sent it through earlier on today, and the first, like maybe the first two listens, I wasn't entirely convinced that it needed Springsteen on it. It's such a good, catchy, anthemic kind of song that it's clearly kind of referencing Bruce Springsteen. That I thought, oh, like, why then does he need to kind of... Isn't that a bit of overkill? But, I don't know, hearing you describe how you see it visually made so much sense to me. And the more I hear that kind of that transition and Bruce's own vocals and that more raspy kind of vocals that an older singer has anyway, but someone like Bruce Springsteen has anyway. Yeah, there's like he brings this heft and a very, very specific story to how you then read the lyrics and understand the lyrics, which is clearly what Antonoff was kind of going for. Yeah, it's such a grower of a song.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to mention again, I feel called out, Mick saying that I didn't send my songs till today. It's true. I acknowledge it. Don't care. Suffer, Mick. Deal with it.
Yeah, look, you've had a busy week.
We'll find out. I've had a very busy week, but we'll also find out if the show continues next year based on Mick's willingness to deal with me. I feel like a newsreader right now, the way I just picked up my notes as well to move on to the next point. Yeah, I really do love this song. I love Bleachers as a whole. My younger brother is a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. It's not, I don't often put on Bruce Springsteen, but whenever I'm in the car with my brother, he puts it on. I love this merging of two very distinct styles that originate from the same place, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, the similarity in story is kind of what makes this such an even more memorable song, I think. Yeah.
Shall we hear some of it?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is called Chinatown. It features Bruce Springsteen and it's by Bleachers. And take the Saturday night, 'cause that's just good to have what was missed. We were meant to be bad, so always be missing. But a girl like you really out of my league. Black tears on your cheek, I want them in my bed. I'll take you out of the city, honey, right into the shadow. You just heard a little bit of Bleachers' new single, Chinatown, featuring Bruce Springsteen. That was my first song of the day. Mix, you're up.
Yeah, second song. Do you know much of Shame? Not the concept or feeling, but the band?
Band, no. Concept and feeling, yes.
Yes, yes. Look, same.
We've been very personal in this last episode. Yeah.
I know a deep, deep shame. No, not that. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh God, I thought you were going to really tell me something there. I don't know how to handle this. I don't deal with emotions well. Like, what do I do?
If you could see Gemma squirm in her seat right now, dear listener. Gosh.
Don't get emotional with me, pals, because it's not going to work.
No, I mean, really, I just want to talk about the band. But it's a band again. Seen the name of, I think I probably listened to like a couple of their early songs. I sort of seen the name, thinking, oh yeah, they're probably a great band. And now I'm just finally getting my shit together and actually listening to them. This song is called Water in the Well, and I think I like it because it reminds me a heap of Parquet Courts. In that.
Yeah, I see
heap
that.
Of percussion.
It's less aggressive, though.
Yeah, it's slightly less straight up kind of punky, more in that post punk kind of Britpop post punk. If they're two genres that kind of go together, realm.
I think the term you're looking for is ska.
Is it?
I think it is. Personally, I got
there are
like,
no horns.
Almost ska vibes out.
Oh,
of this.
Really?
Yeah, the beat maybe.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, well, speaking of the beat and the percussion, there is so much layered underneath this. And that's the direct kind of Parquet Courts kind of reference for me. It does meld this strangely kind of funky feel with that post-punk, really kind of drawn out guitar sound. I just really, really like this song. It's off a new album from them called Drunk Tank Pink, due out next month. I just really like how uncomfortable it is in terms of those two seemingly disparate ideas of that funky thing, that post-punk kind of throw it at the wall, see what sticks. Kind of approach.
I'm a big fan of post-punk music. I didn't listen to this and think this has post-punk elements to it.
Oh, okay.
That's not how I listen to it personally, but post-punk is not just one kind of, you know,
no.
Dream pop genre. It's quite a broad genre. But it's interesting that that's the reference you immediately took out, and I was like, oh, this is like a weird version of ska without horns in it. So, you know, it's quite interesting. But it's also a song that, while I didn't dislike, it's not one I'm going to go and listen to again.
Yeah, you know? Sure. Yeah, yeah, look, I had a long, long list of like 10, no, it was like 17 songs.
Songs to make Gemma mad. Let's choose something she wouldn't like. Because it's the last episode of the year.
It's always got to be one song each episode, Gemma. Yeah, no, I don't know. I just really, really like this song.
No, I have no problem with that, Mix. I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, well, good.
Which is my favourite thing to do.
The tone, sorry, just before we do, the tone you took on when you just said, no, I'm just fucking with you, okay? It's like, well, all right then. Surely good.
Welcome to my world.
Let's proceed. Yeah, but let's, before we lose our minds completely, let's hear a little bit of Water in the Well from Shame. That was a little bit of Water in the Well from Shame. Gemma, what you got?
You got my name right. So, it's actually quite funny. Mix said my name weirdly before, so that's why I've just made that little joke there. It's also relevant because I truly don't know how to just properly say the name of this song.
Oh, yeah.
So I am apologizing profusely in advance. It's Aurora's new song called Sternstof? Something like that. Think of it more Icelandic. Sternstof? More Nordic, please.
Sternstof. Sternstof. I reckon. That's pretty
I'm
good.
Really sorry. I tried to listen to how it was said and my mouth still doesn't work that way. I'm very, very sorry. Anyway, it's a great, great song. It's a first single I can recall Aurora singing completely in her native language. I'm sure she's released songs completely in her native language before, but never as a single, I don't think. I think it's always been part of an album, or it's had some elements that are English and some elements that are not. But this one is completely... is it Norwegian?
Yeah.
I think it might be Norwegian. And it's just incredible. And I think, for me, it's a really fascinating listen because... if you've listened to previous episodes of International Marmalade or even Australian Jams, I love to focus on lyrics and things like that, and the vocal is always really important to me. I think when it's being sung in a language that I don't understand, I can appreciate the vocal for the element that it brings to the music while also not being distracted from what the instrumental is. And I listen to this in a really different way to how I've listened to a lot of Aurora music in the past. And I find it just really soothing. It gives us what we love about Aurora while not necessarily being this big, like, warrior-esque song that a lot of her singles in the past have been, where they're very kind of powerful, whereas this is a lot more... relaxed, I guess, but it still has that Nordic feel to it.
Yeah.
Mix objects to me the use of the word relaxed, but I mean in comparison to a lot of previous singles from Aurora, which have been very kind of, powerful, and, you know, you're going into war, like a Viking war or something like that, and it's really different, I think. It still has those elements, but it's not that kind of stand up and fight type of thing. I just think it's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. The more I listen to this, the more I am kind of coming around to it. Because at first I heard it and thought, it feels very soundtracky. I think it's the drums, not the drum, but the
drums. Think a lot of Aurora songs sound like they could be on a soundtrack though. It definitely sounds
and
like that.
And this feels like a really obvious kind of reference, but it feels like it could soundtrack, like, I don't know, Game of Thrones or something. And having only seen like two episodes of that show, Gemma's Zone Zero, I don't know if that's actually a good reference. It actually feels, yeah, I definitely hear all the Scandinavian kind of feelings, the Nordic feelings, more to the point, but it, there's something quite Celtic about it too. I think in the melody lines, like the kinds of the notes that form those melodies feel, I don't know much about Celtic music, but it feels as though that it's borrowing a lot from that.
Well, they're reasonably close to each other geographically, aren't they?
Yeah,
close-ish.
Exposing
myself on the geography front today.
I mean, they're both in Europe, I guess.
Well, they're both kind of close, aren't they? Ireland and Norway?
Not that close. I mean, they're close.
I say kind of close.
Okay, kind
they're of. Not neighbours, but they're kind of close, right?
Look, they're on the same continent, yes.
Stop trying to bail me out, mate. I'm going to look up a world map right now.
Yeah, right, do it. Cause...
I'm actually quite intelligent, in case you're all wondering.
She's a teacher, don't you know?
That's the least intelligent part of me. Anyway, keep talking while I look up a world map.
When you sent this through, I was thinking... I hadn't even attempted to think about how on earth you might say the title of the song. And I just heard it and thought, oh, this just feels so out of my wheelhouse, out of my ballpark in terms of anything I would ever listen to, anything I would be drawn to listening to. The cover, at least the image that's accompanying the song on Spotify, looks
like a soundtrack as
it
well.
It looks a bit Eurovision-y.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad that I'm not the only one that kind of sees a Eurovision.
I thought it was weird as well because a lot of Aurora's artwork has always been incredible and this one is very, like, yeah, a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like it's been on a Disney soundtrack or something
like
that.
Yeah, well, apparently she has done music for Frozen, speaking of...
I mean, makes sense. Yeah, so... can I just update us all on the world map situation?
Yeah, yeah, please do.
Norway is very close to Ireland, but there's just this, you know...
A big batch of water.
Britain's in between.
Yeah, okay. And another Britain's country? Yeah, okay.
But they are very close to one another. It needs to be said, okay? Anyway, I'm closing my world map now.
But yeah, no, I am definitely coming around to this song. There were just so many kind of, I guess, initial barriers to me pressing play on a song like this. But talking through it, obviously, is always super helpful in terms of how we appreciate music and understand music. I'm really glad you chose something that feels a little bit out of left field. For us,
really,
Anglo English speaking people,
I love Aurora. She's amazing, but also it sounds terrible to always make the comparison. I think her and Woods are very, very similar.
Oh yeah,
but there's obviously really distinct differences, but you know their branding, you know the kind of the essence of their music is quite similar to me. They do actually look quite alike as well.
Yeah.
And Woods has just released this incredible record as well. So maybe that's what got me searching out Aurora to see if there was anything new. And here we are.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So let's listen to some. Can you tell me what the song name is again? Because I didn't listen.
Sternistov? Stern.
By Aurora.
Sternistov. Sternistov. I think that because there's a J in there. Sternistov. By Aurora.
By Aurora. We'll come back in a moment.
Come to
That was a bit of Aurora's new single, Sternerstov, which is, hey. I feel terrible saying, but I really apologize for not being able to say that correctly. Mix, your final song?
Yeah.
For the year?
For the year. I want to talk about Phoebe Bridgers.
Of course you
of
do.
Of course. I mean, anybody would want to talk about Phoebe Bridgers. She is just almost the... I'm going to go out and say it. Almost the perfect songwriter.
It's a big call.
Of that kind of singer-songwritery shtick. oh. There is... Sorry. No, it's all right. I mean, you could probably edit that cough out. And that it just sounds funny that I just said, ooh, like halfway through. Don't do that, though, because then it will make me sound like a slightly more weird than I am.
You know I have to leave this all in now.
Yes, and I'm very grateful for that. this is a song, this is actually a cover of an old song released in the 70s by a guy called Merle Haggard. Great name.
It's a great name.
A great name. And I must say, when I heard Merle, I didn't immediately assume it was a female. Yeah. But definitely look up Merle Haggard's story. I went on a bit of a Wikipedia trawl, and he's had an interesting life.
Tell us some of the highlights.
Oh, gosh. A very difficult childhood, in and out of juvenile justice kind of center, what we would now term juvenile justice centers. Escaped prison a couple of times, but then saw one of his friends had escaped prison, who was going to escape prison with, but then got caught and maybe then got put on death row. And that made him realize that, like, oh no, hang on, I can't do this anymore. I need to fix my life up. And had been playing music whilst in prison, and then started playing music and was a somewhat of a successful country singer-songwriter in the 70s and 60s, I think, from the very brief Wikipedia trawl I did yesterday. It's called If We Make It Through December, and Phoebe Bridgers does it all on piano. It's beautiful. It feels very fitting, even though this song is, you know, what, nearly 40 years old? No, nearly 50 years old. Far out. Far out. It's about, obviously, Christmas, isolation, unemployment, and responsibilities, and I don't know. I know a lot of people have been experiencing issues with employment this year. Both our hands go up. Obviously, we've all been experiencing isolation. Christmas is just around the corner, and responsibilities, I guess, have evolved and have changed. It's just such a beautiful song. And actually, slightly off track, and this relates to my first song. Go on YouTube, there's some BBC Radio 1 piano sessions that Phoebe Bridgers did with Arlo Parks. So it's Arlo Parks playing the piano and Phoebe Bridgers singing. I think they did a version of Kyoto, one of Phoebe Bridgers' big hits, and I think they covered a Radiohead song as well. I could be wrong there. They did do a cover, but I've forgotten which one it was. It wasn't this song that I could see. I don't know. I just love this song, and it just feels very, very fitting for the year we've had.
Yeah. Really interesting that it's a cover from 50 years ago when it fits what has happened this year and what a lot of people are experiencing right now. Totally. So well. Which is also, like, kind of terrifying at the same time. And also, you know, being in America is a very different situation than we are in right now as well. So
yeah.
I could only imagine, and then that they have winter as well to combat, like contend with. I found the thing that I found really interesting about this one is the fact that we're sitting here in an Australian summer. I know that it's not really hot right now, but it's quite warm. Listening to it, it does give you that atmosphere of, you know, you're in a dark American winter in this period of isolation and really, you know, concern, unknown.
Yeah.
In December, coming up to Christmas, which should be something really joyous, and, you know, it's not quite that. Like, it absolutely puts you there. And we go back to what we're talking about right at the start of the episode, which is, you know, giving you the visual aspect of stuff, not just through artwork and things, but through the way they use the language. And it's obviously the songwriting, but it's also the way Phoebe chooses to convey that, the emotion that she's able to give, I think absolutely gives you all of those elements.
Mm. Yeah. And the more I hear it too, the more I can... I haven't actually heard the original version, but I can picture this as a classic country song, like a classic Christmas country song, which like is almost the best form to cover. Like country songs are so rich to cover because they're so kind of focused in on such a tight little idea, often, you know, around love, and especially older country songs. I don't know, apparently there's a checklist of what country songs can be about now, and to be about trucks, beer, women. I mean, that's changing too, thank God. But
unless you're Dolly Parton.
Yes, unless you are the Queen, Dolly Parton.
The Queen.
What a queen. I don't know.
She is. She donated to help find a vaccine. Like, what a hero. Well,
she is. And Phoebe Bridges, I was going to try and find... Phoebe Bridges and Maggie Rogers have done a cover of Iris. Of
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
I can't find it anywhere.
Because of the election.
It's not online.
It's on YouTube, I think. I think it's on YouTube, isn't it?
Oh, it must have been taken down.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
Because it was on Bandcamp, but it's not on their Bandcamp anymore. And they raised a shit ton of money. Because Joe Biden... No, was it that? Biden won.
She tweeted saying, if Trump loses the election, yes, I'll cover Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah. Yeah, and Maggie Rogers said, yeah, I'm up for that too. I've only heard tiny snippets of it. But yeah, it's great. Yeah, and indeed, fuck Trump, indeed. Yeah.
Yeah, let's listen to a bit of the song, which is,
you know,
a bit depressing. You know, hopefully America can work their shit out now that there's a vaccine rotating around and now that there's a new inauguration happening in January.
Yes, yes.
Cross your fingers, because otherwise a lot of people are going to die. A lot more people are going to die. Anyway, let's not get too sad here. Go on.
Yeah, look, this is a little bit of Phoebe Bridges with If We Make It Through December.
If we make it through December, got plans to be in a warmer town come summertime. Maybe even California. If we make it through December, we'll be fine. Got laid off at the factory.
That was a little bit of Phoebe Bridges with If We Make It Through December. Gemma, your final song, but not a new song.
No, so I flagged at the top of the episode that one of my songs was going to be a bit different. I didn't even tell Mix till we jumped on this chat that I was doing this. I just sent it through and said, deal with it. No, what did I put in brackets? Go with me
on
this.
Yes.
Yeah, so... this year has obviously been the wildest year a lot of us have lived through. for Australians, we started the year with terrible bushfires, and then almost immediately transitioned into global pandemic. And us being in Victoria have felt that a little bit more keenly than others because, yes, bushfires in Victoria were intense, but also we had the second intense round of lockdown. It's been a lot. And the thought, and then there are personal circumstances layered on top of that that we'll get to. The thought that Bombay Bicycle Club released their first album in, I think it was 7 years, in January of this year is nuts to me.
Mm.
Because it feels like it was 3 years ago. Because of just all the insane things that have happened. And I was... Mix didn't remember this. I was telling him this before we jumped on our recording. It was actually this album and the singles leading into this album that made me want to create another show, international music show, to be able to talk about how much I love Bombay Bicycle Club and how much I love this album. So that's why I wanted to choose it as kind of a full circle moment, because really without these songs and this album coming out, this show, this bonus episode, which began as a show earlier in the year, wouldn't exist. But also, I think it's really, for me, it's really interesting to reflect back on a year ago and when this song was coming out and when this album was kind of about to be released. I'd just quit my full-time job and had gone freelance, you know, in a year where there's a pandemic, not the best idea, but who was to know? And I am doing what I really, really love to do now. And it's really fascinating to think that when this album came out, I was kind of tentatively stepping my foot into the waters of, I want to do this thing. And now, while I'm not quite there yet with where I want to be, I've made 60,000 steps in the past 6 months that I maybe took 3,000 in the previous 5 years. So that's like a bit of a personal thing. Anyway, I've chosen I Can Hardly Speak from Bombay Bicycle Club because I think it's my favorite song from that record, but this record to me is really symbolic and I just wanted to bring it back to kind of reflect on the year that we've had, which has been, again, nuts.
Yeah, it's been a wild year, and it's been a, for everybody, it's been a very personal year, right? Like, everybody has had that kind of experience of, that deeply personal experience this year. Like, it's not just a run-of-the-mill year. Whether that be because you have been directly affected by being sick, or a relative being sick, or being on watch because a relative or you are at risk. I've got friends who have had to change their life completely because of that. People who I know who are quite older as well, a similar thing. But also lockdowns have changed our lives considerably as well. And I think it's really, you're right. Like, when you sent through this song, I was a little intrigued. Like, I knew there was going to be a story because you did say there was going to be a story.
I always
have stories. But.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm so glad that you found a song from the beginning of the year that speaks to you and that still speaks to you, that you still kind of find solace in and find significant meaning in. After the shit show of the year that we've had, to kind of almost come full circle and go back to where it all began, but imbue a different kind of meaning onto the song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's just really, really powerful.
I vividly remember we were having dinner at one of my absolute favourite restaurants, Bol Bol, Smith Street. Shout them out. Best dumplings. In December last year or late November, I'd gone freelance at that point. And we'd met there and we were outside. I remember it. And talking, and I was just kind of throwing ideas out there, like, I want to do a show talking about international music that doesn't necessarily have to be as often as Australian jams, but I want to do something that's international because I'd never get to talk about these songs, and this Bombay Bicycle Club album is coming out and I have nowhere to really express how much this band means to me or this or that. And that created Not Local, which at the time Play On Radio was still a 24-hour station. So that was created, and then once some changes had to be made, because, lost a lot of work, it transitioned into International Marmalade, which we've been now doing for 9 months. So it's really interesting that this song kind of, or this album, started a lot of even just this stuff. And then to look at everything else I've been able to do this year, it's been really... I'm trying to look really positively back on this year, despite a lot of the negative things that have happened. And I know that I come from a very privileged position of being able to look at things like what has happened this year quite positively because of the situation I'm in. But, 12 months ago or 14 months ago, I was working in a job that I really didn't like and desperately, desperately wanted to be doing something very specific that I knew what I wanted to do but didn't know how to get there. And now, even in the past week, it all of a sudden feels within reach. It's pretty amazing. So I just wanted to share the positivity with people, I guess, without it sounding arrogant or, disappointing to anyone because they've had a really hard year. I'm trying to find positives in that.
Yeah, there is something quite powerful about being forced to look at yourself and to potentially to change and to evolve. And yes, this year has been fucking shit for so many people and so many additional things people have had to endure and experience. But for those folk that have had the opportunity to spend a bit more time in their own head and to think about where they're at, what they're doing, I've had somewhat of a similar experience in terms of podcasting this year. A friend of mine, after sharing an episode of Outside World, this podcast that I'm doing, dear listener, just sent me a message saying, how the fuck... No, what'd she say? You're the most productive person in this fucking lockdown. Which was just a big surprise to me because I don't feel as though it's been that productive a year. But then, we've made 9 episodes over 9 months. That still blows me away that it's been going for 9 months of this little show. I've put out 14, nearly 15 episodes of Outside World. My partner and I had a little show called The Oscillation Podcast for a while there too. Yeah, it's been the very, very beginnings of a foray into properly making audio. And I must say, and I know I've mentioned this to you, I don't know whether it's been on air before or not, but to see what you've done this year in particular and how you've developed as, you know, in your career and in just...
I've become full nerd, haven't I?
Yeah, in the embracement of the full nerd status. is really kind of incredible, and I'm so, you know, I'm so lucky to call you a mate and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. I feel as though we could talk about this after we hear the song, but yeah.
Well, I also accidentally made you cry before came on, didn't I?
Yeah. No, you did. You did.
I did it by accident. I was just really excited about a thing that happened. Yeah. Yeah, and like that's all career stuff too. It's not even like looking personally. Like this time last year I was in a fairly serious relationship, or what I thought was, and like, you know, that clearly isn't the case. Like, you know, there's a lot that's changed, and I feel like a very different person now at 30 than I was a year ago at 29. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting, I think, reflecting, and it's not something I do quite regularly. Like, I don't sit there and, you know, take stock, I guess.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm so busy that I'm just always doing stuff that I don't have time to reflect on that. But I think with the platform that I co-founded at the start of the year, we have been doing a lot of those reflections in anticipation of what we want to do next year. And it's kind of forced me to do it for a few other areas of my life. So yeah, it's been really interesting. And I'm really grateful for this show, because I think it's been a really nice circuit breaker once a month to sit and just have this chat.
Yeah.
And kind of not think about the other things for a little while, and you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's been really good. So it's, yeah, hopefully you'll stick around next year, right?
Look, let's have a chat about this off air. No, definitely. Definitely up for it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I chose a song that was released in January this year.
Long story short.
That's my very long-winded way of saying it. Sorry, everyone. Getting all personal and shit. Yeah, let's hear some of it. It's called I Can Hardly Speak. It's from Bombay Bicycle Club's January 2020 album that absolutely everyone should go and listen to the whole thing, because it's a little bit foreshadowing as well. I mean, one of the singles is called Everything Else Has Gone Wrong, which absolutely describes this year. So go and listen to that. This is I Can Hardly Speak. We'll be back in a tick. That was a little bit of I Can Hardly Speak by Bombay Bicycle Club. It came out in January this year, and kind of, you know, that album started this bonus episode, regular bonus episode, in the Australian Jams feed. Mix, this is our last for the year, but surely you've got some plans to round out December?
Yeah, I do. I've got a couple more episodes of Outside World coming out. In fact, when's this episode due out?
Maybe Wednesday, maybe the following Wednesday. Okay. We'll find out.
Well, look, you would have heard some very incredible thunderstorms on Mel's episode. And you may have heard, or you may be about to hear, the sounds of the Tokyo subway from my brother.
Ooh, cool.
Who sent in some audio. So yeah, that I have been editing that today, and it's been such an excellent thing, because, you know, we loved when Elle and I went over to Japan, what, last year. That was so much fun, and we just loved it, and my brother lives there, so yeah, it felt quite nostalgic editing that. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And then I'm going to do a final episode, before the year's out, and with hopes to continue Outside World next year, but maybe to kind of evolve the format again, getting back to that, explorations of what I can do with audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? It's your project. Do with it what
you want.
So that, I mean, that's what I've done with Australian Jams this year. I have just not released episodes when I should have. That's me doing what I want, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I should apologize for that, but I'm not gonna. You got some nice Christmas plans with your family?
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nice and low-key. Just Christmas lunch with... So Elle and I are having Christmas lunch with mum and with my mum and dad. And then we're going round to her mum and dad for Christmas dinner. And my parents are coming around as well. Awesome. Yeah, it'll be nice. It's a little tradition now. After this will be the third Christmas that I've spent at Elle's parents' place, Mike and Deb's. Yeah.
Wow, is that how long you guys have been dating?
Yeah.
Because I vividly remember the first time I met Elle, and I've probably told that story before.
Yeah, yeah.
Can anyone tell I'm terrible in social situations?
Sorry. No, that was fun.
I mean, it's true. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be 3 years in May. No. Yeah, it's May. Yeah, 3 years in May. Yeah. Yeah, and got some exciting plans for 2021. Which, you know, maybe...
That's ominous.
Maybe next year on the pod. We'll see.
You'll share. Yeah. Goodness me.
How about you? Christmas time...
Yeah, so Siren has... We've sent out our last official newsletter of the year, but we've got three kind of best of editions to kind of get us through December, just because we want to reflect back on some of the great stuff we've been able to produce this year off a very, very small budget. And we kind of want to drive that point home, given the fact that we've seen, you know, bigger media organizations be handed a lot of money to do very little around women's sport, and we want to show what we've been able to do off the back of a very small budget. So, I mean, also just celebrating the year that we've had too. It's not all, you know, revenge. But yeah, so celebrating some of the stuff we've been able to do with Siren is really fun. Preparing for AFLW season 2021. I've got a lot of work to do. Fun, good, exciting work to do over the next month to prepare myself for that season, because it's going to be an even busier one for me, I think, given a few things that I've been able to do recently. Yeah, and then Christmas with the family. We've got a reasonably small family when it comes to our extended fam. Yeah. So we're not going to be doing too much that's not COVID safe.
Yes.
But we all just go over to my non-aunt and uncle's house and have, you know, lunch and dinner there, just chill there the whole day.
Nice.
And, you know, my dad has one sister and she has two kids, and, you know, it's a pretty small event, but it's really, really nice because we're a really close family. Mm. So I'm really looking forward to it, actually, because it's just, yeah, I really like being around my family and stuff. So that's good. And we have like a Christmas Eve tradition, which we do at my mum and dad's house. So... looking forward to that as well. But yeah, just I think I'm busier now than I was a month ago.
It doesn't stop.
In anticipation of what I want to achieve next year. Yeah. Now I feel like I have a bit of momentum behind me at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get lazy and not make the most of that momentum. So absolutely going to be powering through. I probably at this stage won't get a break, or won't give myself a break, until the end of AFLW season, which will be April next okay. year. So if you have questions about AFLW, send them to me, because I'm always there to answer yes. them. That's my service to the world.
Gemma is your AFLW stats expert.
The Siren team called me the AFLW Oracle, and I'm slowly trying to own that. Savvy's going to be so mad at me for this. Savvy put it in my Twitter bio the other night when I was with her, and then 2 days later I deleted it because I was not feeling great about it. She hasn't noticed yet, so sorry, Savvy. Love you. Well, anyway, let's wrap this one up. I hope everyone has a nice, relaxing, if they can, holiday period, yeah. I guess. Obviously, everyone's in different circumstances in the world right now, but, you know, there's a bit of hope on the horizon given the vaccines and things like that. So, going to try and stay positive. Mix, if people want to come and find you and talk to you, how do they do that?
Yeah, well, they can hit me up at Mix Everett on Instagram and Twitter. That's MikesEverett. Yeah, Instagram, Twitter is the best place. You can check out my website, mixeverett.com, if you really want to. Make sure you go and subscribe to Outside World. Just pop it into your podcast player and it'll come up there. And yeah, looking forward to a heap more stuff next year.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to find me to talk to me about footy, find me at GL Bastiani on Twitter. If you want to talk to me about music, find Australian Jams on Twitter. Also make sure that you are subscribed to the Australian Jams podcast feed, because, you know, it's not just International Marmalade that comes out once a month. It is a great episode every fortnight with an excellent local industry guest. What were you going to say?
Can I just say that the last two episodes have been my the best episodes you have done of this show.
Wow.
In part because you're such a brilliant interviewer and co-host, but because both Eilish Gilligan and John O'Took are so insightful and so... I especially loved the one with Jono just because he has such an encyclopedic knowledge of music and of production. And clearly he's done a lot of production. Mm. He produced a lot of my mate Jack R. Riley's work as well. And I think played in Jack's band for a little while too, maybe. I could be wrong there. Yeah, hearing him talk about what makes songs work and like unpacking the craft, like I'm a big sucker for that kind of stuff, but also hearing Eilish and the reflection she offered on this year, and I actually heard watched some thing on The Mix on it's an ABC art show, because you know I'm that guy, but they were talking about musicians and transitioning and pivoting in 2020, and they said Eilish Gilligan is like the artist to watch in terms of how you do it well. And I thought, hey, that's so good that, you know, a somewhat of a smaller artist is getting recognition on a national stage. And just, yeah, I've never watched her Twitch streams, but hearing and seeing what she's been doing and how she's been making it work has been so good, and hearing her reflect on it on your show, on Australian Jams, in this podcast feed, was one of the highlights, one of my listening highlights of the year.
That's it's really nice to hear that, because even while in those conversations, I felt like I was so enthralled by what they were saying. And I was really excited to release both of those episodes, because I just thought they gave so much and they were so articulate and eloquent in what they were trying to express. And I think Jono, he very much talks about probably the more the technical side of creating music and how lockdown might have affected musicians in ways that aren't just a lyric or something like that. Whereas Eilish very much reflected on, you know, the emotional side of her journey of the past 3 years since she was last on Australian Jams, and how she adapted, what this new EP means to her, and why it's come when it has, and all that sort of stuff. And I was so excited to release that to the world, because I think she's an incredible person who I think is finally getting the recognition she deserves for what she does, because she's always released amazing music. She's always had that incredible voice. She's always written incredible songs. But I think, weirdly enough, the the year and what the year's thrown at everyone has allowed her to elevate herself above others and really be even more unique and worth looking at.
Yeah.
And on top of that, just talking about songs that we love, like getting to talk about Lupa J and getting really excited about Lupa J with her, and talking about Jordy Race Coldray, who is kind of a new kid on the scene who's doing some amazing stuff and has a really... I'm really enthusiastic about what he can bring next year and things like that. I had the best time doing those chats, and Eilish as well, getting off that chat with her, because it's funny, I actually recorded those two conversations 2 days apart.
Okay.
But they were released 2 weeks apart. So it was funny that Eilish hadn't heard what Jono had said about her before I spoke to her. So it was really amazing how, without realizing, the two of them actually chose each other's songs, wanted to talk about what each other had done. And I just really love that community aspect too, which was cool. Yeah. 'Cause that's probably the one thing that I really miss not working always in the music industry anymore, is just the community aspect. And I certainly have that aspect in footy. But, you know, all my old mates are still in music, and I don't see them as often because I'm not out and about at these things as much. So it felt really nice. It felt like that was very much coming through.
Yeah.
Also, both of them had just released unbelievable records, yes, which also helped a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for saying that, because I really did love those conversations. I love having conversations like that with people, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
I talk so much. I'm sorry.
No.
I live alone. Anyway, should we wrap this up?
The tagline of 2020, I live alone.
Yeah, I think that I always think that I'm fine. And then when I actually talk to someone on something like this or whatever, I just I'm talking so much. I'm like, okay, yes, it has affected me. But it's fine. You guys are choosing to listen to this, or you're choosing not to, which is also personal choice.
Yeah.
Everyone makes decisions. Yeah. And that is yours. Anyway. Thank you, Mix, for a wonderful first year of International
Marmalade. No worries. Thank you for inviting me on to do this little show with you. It's been such a blast, and I look forward to doing it all again next year.
Heck yeah. Find Australian Jams on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, even though I don't use Facebook very much. Sorry. It's really annoying. It's just, if you search Australian Jams, you will find me. Otherwise, I do believe I have one final episode of Australian Jams for the year. Just trying to work out an exact time to record that one, but it's with a musician who I have loved for a really long time, both in their band and their solo project, which is incredibly exciting to me. And Mix is trying to work out who it is right now. I haven't told him yet. So trying to work that for this year. If it's not this year, then absolutely I will have them on next year. But otherwise... catch Mix on Twitter and Instagram. Catch me, JL Bassiani, on Twitter, or Australian Jams on all the other things. And I'll catch you later, sometime. We'll find out. See you, Mix.
See you, Gemma.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.